Amen and amen. I believe that word has really blessed us and inspired us that we may receive a full reward. It's the will of God, folks. It's not God's will that you receive a half reward. God wants you to receive a full reward. And that full reward is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the Spirit without measure. When Pastor was ministering, there's one or two points I'd just like to highlight, and then we'll pray and go on with the worship of the service. The first is this issue of suddenly. And I mentioned it earlier, but I wrote a note down here that I think will also help us paint a graphic picture. And I'm going to use the Lord Jesus Christ again. You see, the day Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and the heavens opened, the Spirit without measure came down, but there was no miracle. Was there? The only thing that happened that day was that they heard a voice. I know, in fact, not everybody heard it. It was John who heard it. You know, this is my beloved son whom I wear. I said, and I saw. I don't think the other people saw it, but John saw it because John was a prophet. And I saw the Spirit in the form of a dove. It says, it came and abode upon him. But there was no glory. There was no man. Is this a very important point? You know, because many times, it's just in the last few years that God has opened up this to us. You know, we read these scriptures and the reality of it doesn't hit us. Because, of course, you know, revelation is continuous and progressive. And, you know, seal upon seal is opened. The reason why you don't see something is that the seal has not yet been opened. And there are some things that they're there, but you won't see it until God opens your eyes. Amen. It will just be there. But so God has opened this to us recently. You know, that very day, the Spirit without measure came upon Jesus, but his glory was not manifested. In fact, the Bible says, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. That's symbolic of a period of time of preparation and temptation. It was that Spirit without measure that he used to overcome the temptation. Very important point. Then, we don't know how many days, but I can do a brief calculation, and I use the word guesstimate. It's an estimate, but it is with a guess. And God does that deliberately, because nobody knows the day or the hour. Amen. So you will know the time and the season, but you cannot, God does not give you enough information to be able to pinpoint the exact day and hour, because all the things you can even use to estimate are all shadows.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And a shadow is similar to the substance, but it can never be exact.
Yes,
God keeps that in his preserve. Anyway, so I think it's about 50 days later. I'm not, it's a guesstimate. You know why? The temptation itself took 40 days. So it comes from the wilderness. I know that he didn't go to Cana of Galilee the next day after he came back. It must have been some days later. You know, imagine if I come back on a 40-day fast. You have to eat. Your body has to readjust back. So I certainly know that it must have been some few days. You know, it was a few days later he felt better. Then he went to where John the Baptist was preaching, you know, and then you're, this is the guy. You know, he'd been away for 40 days. You know, nobody knew that he had gone on a 40-day fast. He just came back, you know. And then Peter and Andrew, they heard, those ones, you know, followed him. Then the next day they got Andrew and John first, and later on they got Peter, then Bartholomew and a few guys, you know, there were six of them, there were many at first, not all the 12. And then they came to Jesus' house, you know, and then they spent 2 days with him, you know.
Then the Bible says, and on the third day, that third day, you start measuring it from the day they went to Jesus' house. Now read your Bible properly. You know, and there was a feast in Cana of Galilee. That third day is the third day from. Go on, you if you read John very well, you'll be able to find out where you start measuring that third day. It was, they had come to Jesus' house, they had spent a day with him, they had spent another day with him, and this is on the third day. Anyway, that's not my focus right now. Then that day, that third day, when there was the wedding, they invited Jesus' mommy. I'm sure it was one of their relatives, you know, friends. You know, now the disciples were with Jesus, so he just said, since these guys are around, oh yeah, everybody, let's go to the party. That's what happened. It was a very natural thing on the surface, but God, the Holy Spirit, was working in the background. So they get to the party, you know, and everything's going on. Everybody was eating and drinking wine, and everything was fine. You know, then suddenly the wine finished. When the wine finished, I came to, you know, his mom came and said, the wine is finished. What's my business? that's the Holy Spirit translation, but the same thing. What's my business? What have I to do with this? What have I to do with this? I mean, I'm here in a party. Oh, they're talking about wine and all of that. Even Christ himself did not know. That's how tight this thing is. That's how tight it is. Even he himself, he didn't know. Then his mother comes to him, and then he tells those people, "There, whatever he tells you to do, do it." It was at that point that Jesus knew that it was a suddenly. It was a suddenly. He had received the Spirit without measure, but it hadn't yet manifested. Between the time he received the Spirit without measure and time was by, he was using the Spirit without measure to perfect himself. He overcame the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and that's the time we're in now. He says, suddenly, he said, now, go fill the, speak what, the Holy Ghost now told him what to do. Fill the 6 water pots with wine, with water. They filled it with water, and then they drew. And it is that miracle. Pastor G, we are going to see great things. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the incredulous look on the face of the servants? They took the when they were, as they were putting the thing, it was water. But between the time where they left the pot and they were approaching the man, the thing changed. Glory to God. It was a suddenly. And this is the testimony of the scripture. And scripture cannot be broken. He said, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of miracles. And he manifested. So there was no manifestation before them. There was no manifestation at the Jordan River. There was no manifestation in the wilderness. There was no manifestation when he came back home. There was no manifestation the day Andrew and Peter and John followed him. There was no manifestation the day Peter came and Bartholomew. It was not until the wedding. Why are we saying these things? To teach us the principles. That's why it's going to be suddenly. So in that place now, so we should be ready. We don't know where they are, but... And then another picture that the Holy Spirit gave me, which I think would be of great... I've preached this before, you know, because the scripture is full of pictures. So the word is pictures. Words are pictures. That's what God's trying to get us, you know. When you read a word, when you read something, it paints a, or should paint... Now, the correct understanding gives you the right picture. Wrong understanding gives you the wrong picture. You can read something and have the wrong picture if you don't understand what you have read. Okay. So, this is another picture. God, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God is forming man. He forms him from the dust of the earth. This carcass, the physical body, is a very complicated experiment. Trust me. You know, those of us who are doctors, you know, those the brethren who are all these, both the vet one and the real one, praise the Lord. Don't worry, vet doctors are real doctors, don't mind me. You know, they do the same biochemistry, they do the same physiology. It's just the anatomy that's different. So the anatomy of the horse is different from the anatomy of the human being. So the vet doctors actually study more than the ordinary doctors, because they do different animals. Our own doctors do only one animal, you. Praise the Lord. So let's give the vet doctors a clap offering. Amen. Amen. They study more than the ordinary doctors. That's actually true. But the point I want to make is this. God is forming man from the dust of the earth in an extremely complex procedure. Let's use, that's the word. It was a procedure. All the three persons of God were involved. You know, only one person. You go to any operating, go to UCH and see when they're doing an operation. No one doctor can operate alone. There's going to be somebody who's in charge of the anesthesia. There's going to be somebody who is doing this. There's going to be somebody who's going to say, pass me the scalpel. Pass me this. Pass me that. You know, you got the main surgeon. Then you got some other junior doctors who will be around. Everybody will be watching, you know. Three persons of the Godhead. Amen. You know, they had made the devil and all these demons and, you know, all these fossils that we've seen that had died. You know, Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And you know, so there was a lot of stuff that had been done before. So it's all of that knowledge from before that they had. That's why they could do it in 24 hours. Because the other ones have been eons. Another message for another day. So, let me stay with my point. So they're forming. He says, and you know, we just read one verse. But what is inside that verse? The stuff, the detail, and the Lord God formed from the dust of the earth. They put the eyes in, they put the nose, they put the lungs. This was not a baby in a womb that was going to develop over time, over 9 months. That was programmed later. This one, he was a full grown man. The rib cage, you know, the heart, the arteries, the veins, the electrical system of the nervous system, the spinal cord, you know, that's one long this thing. Then it branches out into different nerve endings. Of course, somebody give God a clap of praise. I don't know about you. Me, I respect God. You know, it's because people don't think to understand the complexity of this physical body. Do you understand? In 24 hours. From dust. I'll tell you, Pastor Bushi. He formed. But that's not where I'm going. That just tells you all the, you know, the legs, the nails, the skin. First of all the internal. You first of all do the mechanical, this thing of the bones, and the, you know, the bones and all the skeleton. That's the first thing you will do. Then when that one is there, you now put sinew and the skin on top of it. Then you now put all the internal organs in place. There's the liver, there's all of the everything in 24 hours is not 2 minutes. So Pastor G, it took some work. Do you understand? I can imagine when they finish, they first of all do the skeletal something, then they put in all the organs, you know, put in the blood, everything. Aha! When they were now satisfied, I'm talking they, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. No angel there. Let us, thank you, you got it. This was the work of the Elohim. They did it personally. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth. But this is where I'm going, because I'm talking about suddenly. When that whole complex structure was finished, the eyes were there, the nose was there, the heart, the kidneys, the internal organs, you know, everything in place. To understand the blood vessels and everything, we need to now ignite the system. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We now need to get it to start functioning. And the Lord God breathed. Hallelujah. And he breathed in that lifeless, this, you know, complex structure that was there, that was made from dust with all of its complexities. When he had finished and he was satisfied, he now said, yeah, boys, are you ready? They say, yeah. Holy Ghost, do your work. Suddenly. It was a suddenly. Watch this. The formation was not sudden. The formation, the head, all that, it took time. But the breathing into that was instant. That was the suddenly. My little children, of whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. The forming in you is a process, but the manifestation is a suddenly. I don't know if I've helped anybody. All these years you have been praying in tongues and travailing. The formation is taking place till Christ be formed in you, spirit, soul, and body. When God is satisfied that work of sanctification, I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified. When God is satisfied, like when he was satisfied, when he had finished with Adam's body, he will now suddenly, then the glory begins to manifest. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a baby in Bethlehem. Then he was a little child in Nazareth. All those years were years of forming. Form. 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 Goes to John the Baptist. The heavens open. The Spirit drops. But there's still a work that still has to be done. And the work is done over the 40 days. Then he watches him. Sees how he behaves. See how he treats Peter, James, John, his mother. Hallelujah. His mother said, he said, what have I to do with thee? Then the Holy Ghost said, it's mommy, you know. It's your time. Time is gone. Once he kicked into that, then there was a whoosh, suddenly the water sun stood firm. And from that day the Spirit continued to manifest. We're in that process now, when you're in that formation, God is forming you. He's getting you ready. The day, the hour is coming, and now it's where there will be a suddenly. And everything on your inside will just light up. Like a Christmas tree. You know, at Christmas when you decorate it with all of this, say, light, you know, then you just switch the electricity on. And everybody just says, boom! Everybody just starts seeing all the beautiful lights and everything. You know, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is, so are we in this world. Give the Lord a clap offering. So turn to your neighbor and say, get ready for the suddenly. It's about to come on us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21:21. Pastor Dio touched on this. And we're talking about righteous. Then shall you distinguish the righteous from the wicked. I shared this at the beginning of this year, towards the tail end of last year. This is the modus operandi for this 2017 and onwards. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. The two righteousnesses are not the same. It takes revelation to understand this. The first one is right standing. He that follows, that's where you clean with the blood. He that pursues keeping his right standing intact. There's only one way you can maintain your right standing, the blood of Jesus. That's really what the blood is meant for. That's really what it's meant for. Is to keep that. That's how you follow after right standing. By confessing your sins through honesty of heart and have the constant sprinkling of the blood that keeps your conscience, the way I teach it, the channel between you and God completely clean and clear. So that even tiny, tiny things, like the thought of foolishness is sin, you know, whatsoever is not of faith, faith is sin, will never block that thing because you clean it all the time. He that followeth after right standing and mercy, looking for the mercy of the Lord, hallelujah, showing mercy to others too. Once those two things are in place, the consequence is that he's going to now get Zoe. Then Zoe will now produce right doing. Then right doing will produce honor. So the way to get ready now, so that you will be, he says, that thing that Pastor Dwayne quoted from, it's in Malachi, he said, then shall you discern between the righteous. This is the righteous he's talking about. The righteous who follows after right standing and mercy, and who now finds life, right doing, and honor. So then you will now know the difference between those who are doing righteousness in this way and those who are wicked. The wicked is very simple, like Pastor I said, those who don't obey instruction. You really can't go fine this day without instruction. Not with what is coming. Hallelujah. So, stay with this mood. So continue to follow after righteousness, right standing, and mercy. There's something else I want to just mention here. I'm going to close. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 is a very interesting verse. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain, it's very interesting, that we may obtain mercy and then find grace. Why is mercy first and grace second? Why not grace and mercy? Why mercy and grace? What I've just described to you from Genesis 2:7 explains it. Do you understand? Anytime you need something for God, the first thing you need is mercy. Mercy comes from the outside to overcome all your funny infirmity, because it is where mercy preserves you that you can even be alive to take care of grace, to take advantage of grace. If there is no mercy, you won't even have the faith and the strength to get the grace. Do you notice that in the Garden of Eden, it was mercy first that was working on the man's outside body? It was from outside. Then after that was finished, God now breathed into him grace. mercy, and then grace. So that's why you have to look, you are following after right standing and mercy. Then you will now find life, grace, then right doing, and then honor. You got it? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I got to stop. The last thing is, Pastor Ray mentioned it, the roadmap. Be strengthened with might in the inner man. Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Become rooted and grounded in love. Be able to comprehend with all saints. Or what is the breath length and that God has a focal point. That the purpose is that you might be filled with, is one of the most amazing scriptures, Pastor Gwega. You know, what is the, how can I be filled with the fullness of God? Thank you, Pastor G. Pastor Gwale. Oh, it's incredulous. I thought about it the other day. I got to close. Do you know how big God is? Some years ago, I preached a message on the majesty of God. And God just gave me some, again, guesstimates. You know, when in physics and in engineering, when we, you know, you were, and in mechanical engineering, Brother Adishola, I'll tell you, you know, you just quickly look at something and you can just make a rough estimate. Just by, it's not exact, but it gives you a fairly good idea of what you're, for example, you look at a building like this. Do you understand? A good quantity surveyor like Remy will tell you that, oh, just look at it. But look at the building, look at the size and the area and all of that. Automatically, you can calculate what the surface area is. You can have, I know how much these tiles cost per square meter. I can say, Pastor, to tile this place is going to cost you X, Y, Z. It's not going to be an exact figure, but you know, I can tell you, generally speaking, that it's, there's a word for it, orders of magnitude. I know the order of the magnitude. I may not know the exact, but I can tell you. So if somebody comes and says, oh, that thing is going to cost you millions, you say, no, that's not true. It's not in the order of that. It will cost you hundreds of thousands, but not millions. There's another order of magnitude, you say, no, this will not be millions, it will be tens of millions. Another order of magnitude says, no, it's hundreds of millions. There's another order of magnitude, it's in billions, and so on and so forth. So you can have an idea of the order of magnitude. So God gave me this revelation of the order of the magnitude of God, you know, using the present astronomical data that has come from outer space. This physical universe that we can see, that we're getting signals from outer space and everything, is of the order of about 10 to power 30. That's the order of magnitude. Meters. I'm about 2 meters. I'm not 2 meters. 2 meters is about 6 feet. I'm just slightly, just about 2 meters. 2 meters is like 1 yard. Okay, these are just, you know. Now, 10 to power 30 is 10. Times 10. 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 6 times is 1 million. If you add another 10, 3 tens to it, you get 1 billion. But that's only 10 to power 9. I'm going somewhere. Your brain is only capable of thinking of orders of magnitude, you know, they stole billions. now we're talking about budgets of 7 trillion. A trillion is 10 to power 12. In other words, 10 times 10 times 10, 12. Yeah, this is the bottom layer. When we start talking about God, the bottom layer is 10 to power 30. That's this. I'm not talking about the earth. I'm talking about the entire physical solar system. This earth and our planets around our sun. Our sun is only one star. In this our own solar system that is inside the Milky Way galaxy. Then there are billions of galaxies inside the universe. Now that whole universe with those billions of galaxies is inside that 10 to power 30. But that's God's bottom layer. Because the Bible says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So when you move out of that and you move to another realm, you start getting to the 60-fold. That's where the principalities and powers are. That's where they are seated in heavenly places. Then when you move out of that order of magnitude of 10 to power 60 and you start moving to 10 to power 100, you are now beginning to try and reach where God is. It's exceedingly abundantly above what you can think. But they just guesstimate. It just gives you an idea. Now, let's get back to the scripture. You want to be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, have mercy. How can tiny me of 2 meters contain 10 to power 30, 10 to power 60, 10 to power 100? What does it mean practically? There is no way this physical body can contain the 10 to power 30. A guy even contain 10 to power 10. He can't. Watch this. When Jesus was around, he was this same 2 meters. But the Bible says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what that means? I'll tell you now. It'll blow your mind and hopefully give you a strong ambition to get more serious with God. It means that even in this your 2 meters, that you are, God now hooks you up and connects you to 10 to power 100. So that whenever you need anything in that something, it will come straight from that 10 to power via you, jump into the earth to do whatever it has needs to be do. It's called the fullness, or all the fullness of God dwelling through you bodily. So when a leper comes to you and says, "You can cleanse me if you will," and you do this, boom, 10 to power 100 comes, boom, hop, instant. And you are constantly conscious that you are connected to that. So whenever you are anywhere, you face anything, you look up. That's why he always looked up. When he took the 5 fishes and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up and said, "Lord," I'm talking, you know, Olubi translation, say, "Father, let's do it." And power came from there through the body. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And they began to multiply bread and fish that fed 5,000 people with 12 basketfuls left over. And then suddenly the 10 to power 100 something just stopped. Until when he needed it again, it was available 24/7, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. That you might be filled. God will give you access. Access to the fullness of the Godhead. Yeah. Let me help you folks. Can you imagine? You know Lucifer. Yeah, I don't know. You know, people don't understand. You know, you get to know Revelation. You get to know God better and understand Satan and all that. You know. The devil knows. The devil doesn't have power like God. He knows that. He knows that. You know. But you don't know. But Satan knows how big God is. That's why the Bible says, "Resist him and he will flee from you." after you submit to God. Because once you submit to God and you get connected to that power source, Satan knows that what is coming will completely flatten him. So he flees. He's really afraid. He's not afraid of you. He's afraid of God. He's afraid of the power of God that can flow through you if you let it. So his only way of successfully fighting you is to block you from having access. So don't be afraid of the devil. So when you see cancer and you see a lame person with a withered hand, hey, how can this be, man? Fullness of the Godhead. The person that made the hand has plenty of hands up there. Hallelujah. Stretch forth thy hand. Jesus. The Bible says, and instantly he was connected. The power that was needed to completely repair that hand and straighten it out flowed through from God via Christ's body into that hand and got it done, and everybody saw it. The power that would turn water to wine, he had access to it. The amazing truth here is that this God, this wonderful Father, has given us access to the same thing. That ye, not somebody else, turn to your neighbor and say that you call his name, you Kayode, you Tunde. I say, Shobosha. I said that you.
Yes, sir.
So open your mouth and say that you, not another person, no, that you may be filled with all, not some, all the fullness of the Godhead. It's worth fasting for. It's worth praying for. It's worth suffering for. And it gives you a roadmap. You know, that's why I like this word. It's a very precise word. It's called epignosis. Perfect, precise, exact knowledge. It doesn't leave us in darkness. It's a roadmap. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. You know, be strengthened in the by spirit in the inner man. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Become rooted and grounded in love. Comprehend with all saints. Length, breadth, depth, and height. Then I'll give you access. I'll give you access. Created being that can stand before you. You see, when you understand this thing, that's why I used figures, guesstimates, to just give you an idea. When you begin to understand this, you can then understand the scripture, you know, where he says that, you know, that he raised us up together with him to be seated with Christ far. You see, they didn't have mathematics in those days. There is no way Paul, he had the revelation, so he had to write it with the words that were available. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world but in the world which is to come. There is nothing you can face that can stand the fullness of God. Nothing. What shall separate us from the love of God? Say, neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature. The man knows he's connected. Hallelujah! Connected to the fullness. I won't have that access, so I don't know about you. I will get rooted and grounded in love. I will comprehend with all saints, in spite of their wahala. What is the length, breadth, and depth? Because I know where I'm going. I am going that I, Olubi, might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that is real rest.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. There is a longing
only you can give.
A raging tempest,
a raging tempest.
Raise your other hand to God.
We're going to pray together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. But I want you to pray, personal prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, in just as simple as you can, say, this full reward, Lord, have mercy on me. I want it. You promised me, Lord. Pastor Lubi didn't make it up. It was risen long before he was born. That it is actually possible to be filled with all the fullness of God. A full reward is the Spirit without measure. Oh God. Hey, God. God. And they're telling us, the prophets are telling us that the time for this thing has come. Lord, I don't want to miss it. Yes, I now start with borrowed anointing. But at least let me be a part of this thing, Lord. Don't let this thing come and pass me by. Let me taste of it. Don't let me be like the multitude that was in the time of Jesus that ate the bread and the fish, but were not part of the people that were distributing it. Talk to God. Say, God, I know what it takes. You've told me, strengthened with my spirit in your mind. Christ dwell in my heart by faith. Become rooted and grounded in love. Comprehend with all sins. Length, the breadth, depth, and height. Then you said, I will get it. Lord, by your mercy and grace, I will do it. I can't do it by myself, but by your mercy and grace, I will do it. I'll be strengthened with might. I will use life scriptures I have been taught. I'll pray in the Spirit, so I'll be strengthened with might. Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. My soul, mind, will, emotions. I become rooted and grounded. I practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it until nothing can move me from the love of God. I'll be able to comprehend with all saints. Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it. I want this full reward. All the fullness of God. Okay. You said it in your own words. Let's all pray together. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Let us come to me tonight, reminding me that it is your will that I receive a full reward. You said in your word that we should take heed to ourselves so we do not lose the things we have labored for. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to become all you want me to be. That Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. That I'll be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. That Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. That I become rooted and grounded in love. That I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and the height of your love. So that I will have access and be filled with all the fullness of God. And manifest it like Jesus did to my generation. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo makato fridekes. Liprikito frides. Zofridia. Langara tolo moshele kito frid. Zifrikidoku. Tolo mashala kito. Lipridika to frides. Lombridika tolo mashalengars. Nongik tolo baras. Lamberka tolo mashi. Lomberka tolo mutolo mutufridu frishi. Lombradolo mutolo mungordo fridu frishi. Safridio, Lombrala, Lombercom Tolomacum Tufre, Zofridiles, Gifrides, Longaras, Tufrides, Gelecars, Nofridis, Nofridiles, Tofrinis, Longaras, Gicetofrines, Lombridiles, Zofridiles, Nafridiles, Nufridiles, Tufrines, Longardalas, Tufrines. In Jesus' name. This is fullness. He said, Moses, he said, you know, they were worried, the Egyptians were coming, everybody was afraid, you know, and the Lord told me this, he said, I had given Moses temporary access. See, Jesus had permanent access, but many of the prophets of the Old Testament, they had temporary access for some time. Or at different points in time.
He said, I gave Moses temporary access to the fullness of my power. So I told him what to do as an act of faith. And once he did that, I released it. I saw it as I was praying. I told him, stretch your hand. What's in your hand? The man stretched an ocean. He stretched your hand, the Bible says, and a great east wind. Speaking about it symbolically, the psalmist said he opened it with the blast of his nostrils. It's just a small part of God's power. What's the Red Sea? The thing came. As that power came, it pushed the water on this side, pushed the water on this side, and then congealed them. Hallelujah. Pushed the thing on either side and then made them ice. And then the ground was now dry. You know, normally it would be wet. The temperature. What can God not do? These things are written to give us faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now God has not changed. And I got another good news for you. What he did through Moses is child's play to what he's going to do through you and I. For this is a better testament, established upon better promises. If you can believe it, believe it. If you can believe it. You see, once you understand the fullness of God, all those things now become comprehensible. It was no problem for God to split an ocean and kept it split for over 24 hours. Congealed on one side, and the people began, 3 million people. You can imagine the crowd with all their donkeys and all their horses and everything. Everybody was going through, as they were going through. The Egyptians were coming behind. God went to go and stand there as a pillar of fire. Stood, made himself a pillar of fire and stood there and said, come and go through the fire. And made sure all the Israelis had gone through. The last Israeli went through and they got about halfway or three quarters of the way. Then God removed the fire. The Egyptians were stupid. Very stupid. Then the fire just went up. Then suddenly they saw, these guys, I can still see them. Oh yeah, let's run. That was complete stupidity. It was a strategy. The guy was, he had a trap for you. And they entered the place thinking that, you know, we are on chariots, they are walking, we'll catch up with them before they get to the other side. Hallelujah. When they just got probably about halfway and the last Israeli had moved across, he started releasing the water from, not from the end, but from the beginning. So he started covering them to give enough time for those other guys to get over. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then touch your neighbor, say, with God, all things truly are possible. It's not cunningly devised fables. With God, we're talking about the fullness of God. All things are possible. The one that is not there, he will create it. We're going to see miracles that the world has never seen before. I'm so excited. Because I'm going to be a part of it. And not about you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take off. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So clean.